It was 40 years ago this morning that Mike Doonesbury met his roommate at Walden College, and the funny papers have never been the same. Gary Trudeau's Doonesbury gang blurred the line between comics and the editorial pages.
It also produced some of the most memorable characters ever sketched. To mark four decades of the strip, Gary Trudeau is out with a hefty new collection called 40, a Doonesbury retrospective. In the beginning, there was the everyman, Mike Doonesbury, the stoner, Zonker, and that roommate, the not-quite-sharp-as-a-pencil quarterback, BD.
He was the foundational character. The strip was really developed around him when I was a college student, and BD is a true knucklehead. He feels that his players are mediocre and unserious. Meanwhile, they're trying to play with his head most of the time. And in fact, Zonker's only on-field goal is, in fact, to mess with him. And the first strips were about that. It was basically a sports strip.
You were offered a syndication deal while you were still a student at Yale quite soon after the strip got going.
Oh, very unexpected. It came out of the blue 6 weeks after I'd been doing it. It's a ridiculous story, and it nauseates my children that I would find my life's work 6 weeks into it. But it was not an instant hit. We started with 26 papers or so. But I think that its early success probably was owed to the fact that it was an utter novelty. Nobody had seen anything quite like it. I think the way we framed it was, these are dispatches from the front lines. These are
of youth.
Of youth. You know, that the creator is on the bus, and he's sending us reports from the counterculture movement.
How did it happen that Mike Doonesbury took the place of your original central character, BD?
We didn't really so much take his place as he shared it. There were three foundational characters, Mark, Mike, and BD.
Mark Slackmeyer.
Campus Radical. And they were the tentpole characters, and the idea was that they represented the left, the right, and the center, and that they would create a kind of creative tension that I could play off of. And so I had to go out and think hard about how I was going to sustain that. Comic strips are like a public utility. They're supposed to be there 365 days a year, and you're supposed to be able to hit the mark day after day. And I had no idea whether I could do that.
There is a strip from 1971 between BD and Mike Doonesbury, with BD sitting there with a sigh over his head on the opposite side of the desk of his roommate, Mike Doonesbury. And he said, "How's your biology paper coming?" Doonesbury's like, "Okay, fine, whatever." And he goes, "What are you writing on?"
And Mike replies, "Juxtabranchial organ secretions in the higher mollusks. What's yours on?" And BD replies sheepishly, "Our friend the beaver."
There's so much you're able to say in these early cartoons, which are very simple, with just a stroke. In fact, Doonesbury doesn't even have a mouth here.
I'm not sure what that was about. I think it was probably I was trying to find the way to depict the character so that he remained as deadpan as possible.
How much do characters dictate to you how you draw them? Like, BD's helmet would be a sort of a perfect example.
Really its own category. It took on a kind of metaphoric significance that was wholly unintentional. The helmet at first was, of course, the headgear that he wore during the games. The idea that he might not remove it came to me when I was thinking of sending him to a mixer, and I thought, well, he needs to be able to telegraph to all these attractive young women who he is. They might not recognize him out of uniform, so he'd wear his uniform and his helmet to mixers. But then it kind of took on some more meaning as he moved through life, and I replaced the helmet with other helmets. He changed teams. He became a National Guardsman. He became a California Highway Patrolman. And finally, he became a soldier in both Iraq wars. And when BD becomes wounded and he loses a leg in battle, the reveal on that was twofold. First, as the camera, if you will, pulls back, above the wounded soldier, you see a missing leg, but you also see the helmet is off for the first time. And for many readers, that had a kind of real significance, and many found it moving to see his graying, matted, sweaty hair revealed for the first time.
Because in 34 years,
yes,
of the character.
Because it conveyed a kind of vulnerability. It sent the message that for him, life would never be quite the same, that he had to struggle to move into the life of a wounded warrior and find out what that new normal looked like.
So I want to get back to this maybe at the very end, but I do want to touch on some of your other characters. I mean, Joni Caucus, another very well-known and long-standing character, she was a feminist back in the 70s when being a feminist really meant something. And she ends up being very real in the real world. Tell us about how she got to law school.
Well, I picked up the idea of it was time to move Joni into the future. So I had her apply to a number of different schools. I didn't actually send in the applications, but after the names appeared in the strip, the applications started coming to me. Of the ones that accepted her, I chose Balt Hall at Berkeley for no particular reason. Well, it turned out Balt Hall was unusually friendly to women law students and particularly women who were returning after raising families. So there were a number of women her age at Balt Hall at the time. So I sent her there, and again, everyone continued to treat her as if she were an actual student. I got all the mailings and student ID, and I had to fill out all the forms. And when she graduated, her class invited me to come speak, and they put a mortarboard on her chair in the front row. And you went and spoke.
I mean, it was Joni Caucus.
as if she, in fact, were not imaginary and were graduating with the class.
You know, I think people following the strip would say that the character who's gone through the truest transformation is B.D. You know, he ended up in Vietnam in 72 because he wanted to get out of a term paper.
Right.
And it was kind of an exciting idea. Rice
patties. Yes, his catastrophic wound has shaken him out of the life of settled complacency that he had been living for many, many years. And I think the nature of the narrative decision that I made to separate him from a leg was that I had to look at the consequences in more detail than I normally do. Normally, I don't shoot any higher than verisimilitude. If it sort of seems like it might be accurate, or it seems that's usually good enough for me to clear the bar. But in this case, I really had to sweat the details. So I had to more closely observe what BD might be going through psychologically. And as a result, the strip kind of took a more naturalistic turn. It's not as surrealistic as it used to be. But it's been an astonishing journey for me.
Gary Trudeau's retrospective of 40 years of Doonesbury is out today.
And that's Morning Edition's Renee Montaigne. You can relive four decades of memorable Doonesbury moments at npr.org. This is NPR News.